I am. Oh, yeah, it's great.
Oh. Horse, get hold of yourself.
Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I'm your host, Phil Gonzalez, and this week, you know what? I was going to just read this book and just shoot off a really quick episode about it because I looked at the cover of it and I was like, all right, this is another book about the bears trying to save a tree or trees. And I've literally done about three of those already in the last like 2 months. We've had so many books about the bear cubs trying to save the forest to one degree or another that I was like, I can do this easily. I can do this in my sleep. I dream about this plot now at night. It's just ridiculously redundant. And so I started reading this week's book and it got really weird and complex in ways that I wasn't anticipating it being. And I stopped before I got to the end of it. I was like, I need to talk to someone about this. I need to talk to a person. I need to have a real live human being to discuss the weirdness of this week's book. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you will join me to welcome this week's guest. The first time on this show, please say hello to the host of Ladies Who Library, Erin Gambrill. Hello, Erin.
Hello. What an intro. Thank you.
I try to build it up. I try to make everyone feel just on the
top. I mean, I was pumped. Nine. So thank you.
Well, first of all, welcome to the show.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here.
Do you have any kind of history with the Berenstain Bears?
I do. So I was a kid of the 80s, and I feel like they were really available to me at just the right time. So I definitely remember reading... I remember reading a lot, and I still think about this book, the Get the Gimmies. Mm-hmm. Like literally, I think maybe every time I'm grocery shopping and I'm at the checkout, I think about some of those key scenes in that book. So yeah, I grew up with Berenstain Bears, and then I'm a children's librarian now. Have been for a while, and so I see them on the shelf and see kids check them out all the time. So I'm familiar with them in a new way now.
Well, I was going to ask, as a children's librarian, what's the traffic like on Berenstain Bears books in this day and age?
They still hold up. I mean,
oh, yeah?
Yeah, I think parents now of little ones are of my generation. So I'm like in my mid-30s. And so since they grew up with those when they were kids, they're now familiar with them and more likely to put them in the hands of their own kids, or they don't really have to do any vetting. I think they know that brand. And so they're just like, yeah, I turned out fine. I read those. You read them too. So yeah, they hang out with, we have a section in the library that some libraries call it familiar characters. We call it multi-authors because there's a lot of different authors that kind of write for franchises, except not for Berenstain Bears though. But and so they hang out there, and it's all those very thin paperbacks. But they all know and love those characters, so they go right to them. So yeah, they check them out in heaps.
Do you shelve the Berenstain Bears books, or do you put them in one of those like buckets so they can flip through them?
They are shelved. Yeah. Ooh. Yep. Yeah.
Spines out and everything.
Yes, spines out. Which you can barely see. Right. Unless they're the golden bound or whatever.
It's like, I want the light blue one.
Yeah. Yeah, but they go through them though. I mean, there's enough room for them to take a look, and that would be they take them out by the handful. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's funny because like, I've always had trouble finding the chapter books in libraries, and we have like, you know, the statewide library system. Mm-hmm. And they're nowhere to be found.
Yeah. We have it, I think, so this one that we read for tonight, we would call an I can read, or it's almost a first chapter. I mean, this one does have chapters in it, but, it's kind of that, beginning reader. I think you guys call them first readers. They're a much smaller section because it's part of a kid's reading life is pretty small. It's pretty short because, you know, there's a whole lot of like easy picture books everyone reads together, or you read to your child, or they eventually might read by themselves. Then when they're like kind of learning to read in phonetics, I mean, that's a whole nother, maybe, I don't know, they spend 6 months to a year with those kinds of books. And then these are really just a teaser for what we then call juvenile fiction or children's fiction, like, the beginning Harry Potters, or, lower end Judy Blumes or whatever. And so, so these are kind of like a flash in the pan. So, they're not as exciting. I mean, it's sad because I feel like the collection gets overlooked in some ways, but there are a lot of gems in there, like what we read tonight.
I'm assuming that most of the gems in there don't involve like political like fraud, like whatever's
Yeah.
having sort of like I don't know.
Mudslinging.
The mudslinging, the whole like the ethics of running for office, the
Right.
I this book goes in a there's like 100 different plots running through this one, and
Yeah.
they don't all get resolved in very satisfactory ways, in my humble opinion.
No, I agree. I agree.
So for those of you listening at home, this week's book is 1996's The Berenstain Bear Scouts Save That back scratcher, and the back scratcher in question is not a handheld back scratcher, and the saving of it is, as we've learned from the titles of all these chapter books, secondary to the rest of the plot. So, Aaron, why don't you
Yeah.
walk us through what happens in Save That Back Scratcher?
Sure. So there is an election coming up, and the scouts realize that their scout leader Jane, who we've seen before, is running for office. She's running for the office of mayor, and she's running against Mayor Honeypot, who thinks he is running unopposed until he's shocked. He finds out that he's being opposed by Scout Leader Jane, and he is in cahoots a little bit with Ralph Ripoff. I don't know that that's I don't know if they're in cahoots. I feel like he's sort of swindled by Ralph Ripoff. I mean, Mayor Honeypot's kind of a maybe a pushover or just a little
Not very intelligent.
Dim,
Dim is a good term.
So I'm trying to look at my notes here about
Because, oh boy, if I had to like just rattle off this plot, I would be lost myself.
yeah, I wrote Ralph Ripoff, what's up with him and the mayor?
What is up with him and the mayor? So
Yeah, I don't know that that ever gets resolved.
it's highly illegal.
Sure,
Like this whole
yes.
setup is nightmarishly illegal from about 100 different directions. Ralph's whole thing is he just wants to make money.
Yes.
At the end of the day, he just wants to make money dishonestly.
Yeah, I think that's the key. God
Like
forbid he
not
makes money honestly. Yeah.
but not easily, 'cause this plan
Right.
isn't like a laid back kind of plan. He's con what is he convincing the mayor to build a highway?
Yep. Six-lane superhighway. But yeah.
And the mayor, he somehow convinces the mayor that this is going to get him reelected against a far more competent opponent. Even though it's going to call, well, let's go back to the, okay, so what's up with this back scratcher?
Okay, so the back scratcher. So we are introduced to this back scratcher when the scouts are headed to their scout meeting, which is when they find out that their scout leader Jane is running for mayor, and they run into Gramps, and Gramps is sitting in the town square. And in the town square is a giant tree. The tree is called, oh, where did I write this? The shag, the old shag?
Old
The shag?
shag.
Shag bark hickory tree. Yeah, and they call it old shag. Yeah, so just let that sink in. and so then he at some point tells them about old shag. Old shag is famous because it stood over opposing generals in the Great Bear War.
Yeah, so this is where we start getting more of this Bear Country lore that's been
Yes.
creeping into all the chapter books over the last few years.
Yes.
And this is a pretty so the Great Bear War is basically their civil war. Like, as far as, like, the trappings, the appearance of the uniforms, the appearance of the weaponry, and the names of the generals.
It's General Stonewall Griswell and Ulysses S. Bruin.
Yes.
Related to two characters.
Exactly, because, like, everyone in Bear Country comes from one of two lines, the Grizzly line or the Bear line. And I assume that Griswell is part of the Grizzly line and Bruin is part of the Bear line. Like, it's vague, but like, we know that there are two main lines of bears in the history of Bear Country, and they fought to the death with real guns with actual bayonets.
Yeah. So Olchag, the thing I like about Olchag the most is that it's not just this like mighty, beautiful tree that inspires all or whatever. It has like a function,
right?
Which is it's a back scratcher.
Exactly. And I'm gonna bring up a really weird point, which is that this is the bear is like honey, and they don't wear shoes, so you see they have claws, and they basically resemble the idea of what we think of as a bear. This is the first book where they're actually doing something like that a wild bear does.
Yeah.
Which is scratch its back on a tree. Like, that's a bear thing. And it's very, like, jarring. Like, they're suddenly, like, behaving like wild animals.
That's a great point. Yeah, it does feel like, yeah, I think that's a good point. I didn't even think about that we usually just recognize them as these sort of, you know, humanoid characters.
Yeah.
They get pretty real in this book. Which is such a weird juxtaposition from the, like, you know, the notion of history and elections and like things are that are like, you know, very human civilized ideals.
Right. They fought with guns. They didn't like just maul each other.
Right.
Like, you assume that they like didn't like partake of the fallen. Like they are not they're not eating raw animals. I'm trying to think of like a human, what's the human equivalent? Like, what's something we do that doesn't make any sense really, but that is like something we never really evolved away from our like primate ancestors.
Oh, that's a good point. I mean, like there's things that I think are similar symbolically to this, like a handshake, but I don't think that's primitive in any way.
Right.
I mean, that's like a practice. Maybe bowing. I mean, on it, like bowing is you bow to someone, you're showing submission in some way. And so maybe that's like an animalistic thing of, you know, like animals do that to each other, not necessarily the same way we do where we bend at the waist, but they sort of can cower their heads to each other. So maybe that would be.
I think that's a good example. Like, I also like beat my chest when I get angry.
Sure.
But that's probably unrelated. I think that's a learned behavior.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great point.
But no, it's just the back scratching is so weird, especially if you look at the cover of the book. Mm-hmm. Like, Gramps is scratching in the cover. It's a really unsettling image. Like, he's in another zone. You don't see their tongues that often, and you see his tongue in this picture.
Yeah, it's lulling. It's lulling about.
And he's saying ooh, ah, oh.
Yes, well, there's a chapter called that. There's a chapter devoted to the utterance of pleasure that they make, which is very creepy. Yeah.
Well, so this is like the town's scratch. We've never seen this tree before. Like, this has never been a point. All of a sudden, it's the most important thing in the middle of Bear Town. And and we see like Farmer Ben comes through. He's hauling hay, and he's got two oxen like pulling his hay. And he stops to scratch his, like, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
And but the point being is that like, this is they're going to have to tear the tree down to build the freeway. Meanwhile, Jane is running for office, so she can't be their scout leader anymore.
That's right.
So she's replaced by
Miss Stickler. Stickler's a stickler, they say.
They hammer that point home.
Yeah. And then she sort of self-fulfills that prophecy of her surname like everyone in Bear Country does.
Right, it's funny because
definitely
like
being a stickler.
They do this huge build up to her. Like, her name is Ms. Stickler, and she's a stickler. We've heard horrible things about her. And there's this enormous buildup to the point where I expected there to be like a twist.
Right, exactly, yes.
No, no, she's kind of a horrible person.
Yeah.
In fact, it makes me wonder why she wants to be a scout leader in the first place.
I mean, maybe she likes the power trip. I had some educators that I've had that feeling about.
Describe Miss Stickler to our listeners.
So Miss Stickler, yeah, she's a stickler for a lot of things. She wants you to be punctual. She wants you to stand up straight. She has very specific needs about your appearance, especially when you're wearing the scout uniform. Something about the hat has to be, I forget what it is.
Two finger width or something above your
eyes. Yes.
Which is funny because that's what we use for, I work for the Brain Injury Alliance. That's what we use for like helmet fitting guidelines.
Oh, weird. Interesting.
So that's not like, that's not wrong.
Yeah.
It's a good way to judge for your hat sitting, but also the necktie, their neckerchiefs.
Yes, their neckerchiefs.
Yeah, she seems obsessed with like the letter of the rules as opposed to the spirit.
Sure, yes.
And she makes them reveal their secret hideout.
Oh, yes, that's strange. Yeah, she makes them take her to their secret hideout.
Mm-hmm.
And then she wants to sort of clean it up, I think.
Yeah. She's like, it needs curtains and it needs...
Yeah, which is just like, what's your game, lady?
I know.
I just don't understand.
And it never comes to anything.
No, that's the end of it. Yeah, I think they don't mention that hideout again. It's just a maybe a point being driven home that she's incredibly intrusive. Yeah. I don't know, or rude, or I don't know.
Well, the Bear Scout series is funny because like there's all these like little things that are introduced in the first Bear Scouts book, like their secret hideout and how important it is to them.
Mm-hmm.
And like the all for one and one for all chant. There's all these little things that are introduced that kind of fall by the wayside as the books go along.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, because this book, I think, canonically takes place earlier in the series than I'm covering it now, I'm wondering if this was the way of saying, like, we're tired of bringing up the secret hideout all the time. Let's just have it discovered and just do away with it. We'll just have the...
That's a good point. It's tainted forever now. A grown-up has seen it. Yeah, it doesn't look very nice in the illustration in the book.
No, and it smells like chickens.
Yes, that's right. I mean, I believe that about a bear hideout. That it would smell like chickens.
I mean, if we're going along the route of them being like succumbing to their bear impulses, it probably smells like carcasses.
Entrails, right, exactly.
I mean, we're watching the bears devolve in front of our eyes.
They can dress it up with their neckerchiefs, but we know who you are.
you can take the bear out of the cave. Oh my goodness. So we're introduced, there's all these themes running through the book. There's like, so, because what's happening is like, Ralph is like, you're going to build this highway, see? And my company's going to like build it. And then like, my company's going to like inspect it. And so there's all this, what's that called? With the corruption where like the politician is like letting his friends like bid on the project. Like,
There is a term for it. It's not, I wrote down mudslinging about the political ad that comes out in a little bit. Yeah, it's one of those, like Roosevelt era, like Teddy Roosevelt era terms.
It's highly unethical.
Yes,
if not downright
yes.
illegal what they're doing.
Yes.
And what I'm confused, so obviously Jane is a far better human being than Mayor Honeypot.
Yes.
We know that she is because Mayor Honeypot screws up his words.
In just the most inefficient way.
Right. Honeypot's a holdover from the Saturday morning cartoon. That's one of those like mannerisms that worked a lot better in animation.
Yes.
Like when a person's saying it out loud and just screwing up their words, that's one thing. But when you have to kind of read it, it loses a lot of its effect.
Yeah. Because he would also sometimes switch the letters of the words in the middle of the words.
Yeah.
So if it was like a two-syllable word... The second syllable would be different in each one. And it was like, this is quite the opposite of what a first reader should be experiencing at this point. Like they need to be able to get comfortable with reading. And so like to have to like deal with something like, you know, weird phonetically spelled dialect or something.
You got to make those kids work for it.
Yeah, that would really throw someone off.
But my question is, he's hoping to beat Jane in the election.
Yes.
She's obviously far more competent in every aspect than he is.
Mm-hmm.
Why does he think tearing down this tree and building a freeway through the middle of town is going to make him a more viable candidate.
He's out of touch with the people, Phil.
Oh.
I mean, I think that's it. He's lost his touch.
On top of everything else, we're introduced to the notion that Mayor Honeypot is one of the 1%.
Yes. I mean, his wife carries a parasol.
Around town.
I think that was mentioned. Like, if that doesn't just, like, drip of jewels and money, I don't know what does.
There's so many things going on in this book.
We
have an incumbent politician who's being challenged for the first time by a woman.
Yes.
Like, that's no small thing. A competent woman.
A woman who works with children.
He's in no way qualified for this job.
Right. Right.
She's a woman who has proven herself as a teacher.
Yeah.
As a leader. Like, she's a voice in the community.
She's called Scout Leader Dane.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
an influencer.
As far as like a story goes, there's a lot at stake in this election.
Yes.
I'm just laying that right there on the table. There's gender politics involved.
Yeah, I wrote down, because I think, and I don't know, I mean, you know, who knows how much weight any of this really is, but that she works with children, that like really struck me, because I'm someone who works with children, and I, you know, speak to other people, like, you know, teachers and other educators and things like that who work with children. And I feel like sometimes there is this like coy dismissiveness of kids, of people who work with children, as like that's, you know, very sweet, quaint work. And so, I mean, obviously I'm reading into it a little bit.
Go ahead. That's what this show is for.
Yes. But like that just really struck me as like, of course, Mayor Honeypot's like, what is she going to do? She just worked, like, you know, just because given her history of, you know, being an educator or someone who works with kids, I was just like, man, people underestimate these people all the time. But yeah, like you said, she's incredibly equipped for the job.
Yes, and she has like a lot of support. She even has like I guess Ms. Stickler is also her campaign manager.
Yes.
Who's like driving around town in an elect Jane mayor. We never hear Jane's last name, by the way.
Yeah, nope.
Because they start referring to Mayor Honeypot and Ralph Ripoff as the Gang of Two.
Yep, Gang of Two.
Because Ralph Ripoff is like a known criminal.
I mean, like, yeah.
In last week's book, the town was literally voting to tar and feather him and literally ride him out of town on a rusty pole, on a rail. With like, he was like, make it a splintery rail, and they're literally gonna tar and feather him, like, not as like a figure of speech, like, they hate him. Everyone hates him.
Yeah.
And for Mayor Honeypot, so we have an incompetent mayor, mm-hmm. colluding with a criminal, a known criminal who everyone hates, who's going to tear up the town, and who's, I cannot, like, this, the stakes are incredibly high.
Yes.
In this book.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, the result could be this super duper 6-lane highway, and oof, can you imagine?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that would change everything they know.
In another plot line going through this book that we haven't even brought up, the scouts want to try out for a super cool merit badge, like scuba diving or wilderness survival or something. And Stickler says, no, I prefer merit badges that are more like academically aimed. And so she wants them to get a history merit badge.
Mm-hmm.
And so they choose to write it on Old Shag.
I wrote down in all capital letters, forced patriotism. Because of the history merit badge.
Bringing up my question again, why does she want to be a scout leader? She seems to hate scouts.
That's a great point. Well, just looking at this, I don't know why she wants to do anything she wants to do. She has, I'm looking at this image of the elect Jane Mayer van, and she has her arms crossed,
right,
sitting in the back. Like, I mean, she's a little smug. She's a little pleased with herself, but it's also just like, I don't know. She seems uncomfortable in every scenario.
So Stickler and Jane have some kind of relationship. We don't know what. They're friends or something, but the, Stickler hates scouting. She hates cubs, apparently. The cubs are so furious at her that they're actually thinking of quitting at one point. Bear in mind, they are the only four cubs in Beartown. I mean, Cub Scouts in Beartown.
Right.
So if they quit, that's literally the end of Scouts.
Right.
Like, I think they have a lot of leverage.
I think they do, too. Yeah, she is not invested at all in the success of the Scouts. I think she's helping a friend out, and that's about it.
But, like I said, the plots do start converging because the Cubs... So what happens? Like, the Cubs...
So they want to do a like crayon rubbing, pencil rubbing of the plaque that's under Old Shag, which says Generals Griswell and Bruin brought this great bear war to an end by signing the peace treaty under this great tree. So by using this crayon, to do this crayon rubbing. They are earning their history merit badge. So that's all it ends up taking, I think, is for them to do that.
They do write an entire book at the end.
That's right. Yes, yes, yes. Because they put this all together for a book. That's right. That's right. Right. Exactly. Yeah.
But then there's a chapter you pointed out called Ooh Ah Oh Ah.
Uh-huh.
And so this is, so like the freeway is going to be built. By the way, this freeway idea goes from like 0 to 100 in about a day.
Yeah, it's happening like tomorrow.
There's going to be like this like ribbon cutting and the tree's been condemned and it's going to get cut down. And we have for like the 50th time in Bear Country, some kind of standoff with people trying to cut down trees. And it's all scratching your back based.
Right. I mean, this is quite a number that they're pulling out here, though. They have a chainsaw. They have a crew. They have a chipping machine there. They are ready
There's
to go.
There's TV stations.
Yeah.
So Miss Stickler is on the Cubs' side. She doesn't want the tree cut down because it's historic.
Yes.
Even though she does not scratch herself on the tree.
I, sir, do not scratch. Is that what she says?
Yes. I believe there's actually a cartoon picture of her saying
yeah,
that.
I sir do not itch. That's what it is. Because they're like, don't you itch?
I've said this on a few episodes. If Mike Berenstain would start a online t-shirt shop featuring images, just images from the chapter books, there's any number of shirts that I believe would sell very well. And one of them is Stickler with her arms crossed saying, I, sir, do not itch.
Yeah. Old Shag is also pretty rife for a t-shirt. I did think about that scene, though, when he's like really trying to convince her to have a good scratch. Because this is Gramps, I think, talking to her about this. And I just thought this was a little indicative of an old boys club.
Which
you usually find with like history and politics and, you know, ceremonial nonsense, really. Mm-hmm. But then later you do find out there are women who scratch because Officer Marguerite scratches.
Oh, she does.
She itches and she scratches. Yeah.
It doesn't surprise me that Officer Marguerite scratches.
Yeah. Anything a man can do, she can do better.
I agree with you that Beartown seems to be quite the old boys club. Like Beartown politics is... I mean, you know, we have Officer Marguerite. She's like the kind of the face of the local police, but
yes.
There's still Police Chief Bruin. Like he is still her superior. Mm-hmm. But you know, and speaking of like, you see, Gramps is such a strange character in these books because we know that he is super conservative.
Yeah.
And like super intolerant in so many ways.
Yeah.
Like he's proven himself. He wears a straw boater. Like that says enough about his character.
Yeah.
So it's interesting, like this whole like environmental angle, like saving a tree is generally seen as very like liberal, hippy dippy.
Sure. Yep.
But preserving our heritage is very like it's not strictly conservative, but it's portrayed in pop culture as a more conservative, like we gotta save this tree.
Yeah.
So this is a nice marriage of the two concepts.
Yeah. Well, and never mind the fact that the tree, I mean, trees die, trees get sick. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, the state of the tree, just based on the illustrations, it looks okay. Although the bark seems to be questionable in that it's like, cause at some point it's like flaking off, I think near the beginning.
Right. Doesn't it like a, In the very beginning, the cubs accidentally knock off
That's
a piece
it.
Of bark.
Yes.
And Gramps puts it back, which I don't think you can do.
Gramps has a fundamental misunderstanding of how trees and plants work.
Now, the shagbark hickory does look like that.
Oh, it does.
It's bark.
I didn't even know that was a real tree.
Yeah, if you look up shagbark hickory, they look like they're falling apart.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Well, that adds a whole other element to it.
But you can't just put bark back on a tree.
Very true. If you learn one thing today, it's definitely that.
Also, and not to get too, like, real worldy, but as long as we're talking about bears scratching themselves on the tree, animals rubbing against a tree kills a tree.
True.
Like, that's how trees get damaged by animals rubbing against them. Like,
yeah.
You can see, like, deer rub against trees and it, like, wears the bark off. Like, that's what
mm-hmm.
Tree bark doesn't tend to get knocked off by kids on skateboards. It tends to get knocked off by animals destroying the foliage. I guess that's my point. Like, if you're going to make your bear scratch the tree, maybe saving the back scratcher should have been getting bears to stop scratching against this old tree.
Right, exactly.
Anyway.
Good point.
This chapter is called Ooh Ah Oh Ah. Tell us why it's called that.
So, that is the noise one makes when they are, you know, using the shag bark for what it's best used for, a back scratcher. I'm trying to think, remember who's, is it Gramps that says it? Or, no, Miss Honeypot.
Uh-huh.
And the mayor. Okay, that's right, yeah. So the mayor throws his back against old shag. Gramps convinces him, because they knew each other in their childhood.
Yeah.
And he's like, remember, we use this? And he's like, doesn't your back itch just a little? And then the mayor is overcome with, I guess, nostalgia and back itching. And so then mm-hmm. he takes a scratch, and then Miss Honeypot, who is carrying her beautiful parasol, throws it aside, and she also scratches her back on the back scratcher.
I'm going to do a little dramatic read here.
Yes.
Because this is my favorite paragraph in the whole book. The mayor leapt down from the platform and threw his back against old shag. Yes, yes, he cried. It itches a lot. Yes, yes. Ooh, ah, yee. Oh, ah, ooh. I love the idea that someone sat down, Leo Berenstain perhaps, sat down at a typewriter or a word processor and was like, this is the best way to express a bear scratching against a tree.
Yee, with three eyes.
Three eyes. Yee. I don't think I've ever heard a bear say yee. I don't think that's a sound a bear can make. Listeners, correct me if I'm wrong.
Oh, man. Yeah.
But,
that's great.
Yeah, so that's, yeah. And so this is a weird, like, commentary on, like, the 1%. Like,
yeah.
This notion that they've simply forgotten their roots.
Yeah, I don't know what that implies, that, like, he has forgotten his, like, essential bareness, maybe?
Yeah.
I don't know, like, if that's maybe, it, like, he's become more or less bare and more something else, or, but this is bringing him back.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an interesting comment that I'm not sure what it's saying.
What are they even trying to say?
But yeah.
So he stops scratching and he cancels the highway.
Yep.
Because he loves a good scratch.
Yep. Hereby canceled.
Thus begins the final chapter, which is the part that I turned the page and was instantly infuriated.
Yes.
So tell us what happens, because, oh boy.
So unlucky for everyone for chapter 13, called Jane's Return.
Yeah.
A quote, it was close, but Honeypot won. So, okay. We don't really get that much explanation, although there is a theory that maybe some people suspect that there was some voter fraud. And
yeah.
He has so many
some
relatives
yep.
that some of them would
some
vote
of them may
multiple
have voted
times.
Twice.
Right, exactly. Here,
that's where I'm like, wait a minute. Stop, wait.
Yeah.
You think there's voter fraud, and you just, whatever. Like, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, some said that. But
Them's politics.
Gramps did not believe that, because he knew that that Honeypot had gotten back to his bareness, I guess. But I
And
mean, that's Gramps being old conservative Gramps again, I guess.
yeah, he'd gotten down off his high horse and scratched his back. Folks identify with that, said Gramps. Everybody needs a good scratch now and then, even folks who don't itch, he added with a wink. And to me, a don't itch implies, the women.
Yeah, one hundred
B,
percent.
this is basically him saying he's a terrible man. But
Yeah.
you know what? I can identify with him.
Yeah.
He proved through one infantile act
Yeah.
that he's one of us.
Yep.
So I'm glad he's back in office and that he beat that woman.
Yeah. Totally meaningless, totally arbitrary
Yep.
act.
And we don't need a recount. The election was close. I know you're talking fraud. People have a
Sure.
good reason to believe the honeypot family is corrupt and double voted. But we don't need to waste everyone's time with a recount. He won.
Look, he proved
She
himself.
didn't.
Right.
Yeah. And I was like tearing my hair out.
It is infuriating, this chapter. I don't know why it was chosen to end this way. I mean, I know that Scott Leader Jane winning the election would upset the whole culture maybe of this town, but yeah, it just seemed like very I'm
Yeah.
like why? But oh, okay.
I thought that the scouts were going to learn, Miss Stickler is different, but she's got really good, if you give her a chance, you'll understand that just because her ways are different, it doesn't mean that it's necessarily bad.
Right.
But we know we don't get a chance to learn that.
No.
And
She swoops in, is real a real stickler, and then swoops out again.
swoops back out. And so they don't learn anything from that experience. I understand that, the books kind of have to return to a status quo
Right.
because it's a series that, you're not, it's not like a mini series. Like, each book, the Bear Country kind of returns back to the way it was.
Yeah, exactly.
But there is continuity. And this is not your bear. I don't. It really disappointed me that Jane
Yeah.
didn't win the election because it felt so arbitrary.
It really did. Yeah, there was no argument for no real reasoning for why. And we only get really Gramps' take on it, which I mean, Gramps, this is not a very trustworthy source.
So Jane, of course, was not happy to lose, but she was glad she had run, which I guess is, that's,
I
I
mean,
don't
that's
know.
Jane.
Yeah.
Jane is of char good character and takes things as learning lessons, and she's brave and smart, so good on Jane.
Speaking of libraries,
Yes.
yeah, so what happens in the end?
So, you're right, they make an album called Old Shag, A History, and it had been put in Beartown Library for all to see.
Yay.
So yeah, it's a sweet little binder
That
that they made.
I'm sure everyone who comes to the library will take a long look at.
Well, yeah, so someone who has worked in branches with historical displays, yeah, people come to them up to them in droves. Just kidding,
Yeah.
that doesn't happen.
Oh, it's
I
a no.
know. If you every once in a while, if someone's like waiting for someone to finish up with a meeting, yeah, they'll totally read whatever's in that display case or whatever. So there you go.
This final image, though, of, well, not final image, but this image of the book, though, reminds me that the way they present the Great Bear War in this book is, like I said, it's obviously the Civil War because of the way it's drawn and the names of the generals, but it's very much like, they settled their different.
Yeah.
Both sides were fine. Like
Right.
they were just, and I'm like, you can't. Used Civil War imagery,
Yeah.
and then in the end be like, but they were both good guys and they shook hands
Right.
on it.
Right. I mean, they were both great leaders. Yeah,
Yeah.
they're given equal weight in this book
And the community.
and in the community with their statues.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, the book, let's just, but the book does not end with one of the statues being pulled down.
No, there was never a question of that.
No.
It's just the tree. So who knows what we're going to have to those, because they're pretty close proximity-wise to that tree.
I want to know what they were fighting over.
That's a really great question.
Because like I've said before, the only, like, if you're using the Civil War, but that's...
I mean, if it's any indication of how people talk about the Civil War in our universe, it was just economics.
It was economics.
It was just money. Just money.
And states' rights.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Nothing else. Nothing more sinister or, you know, damaging to the human character and condition in any way.
We do love the Great Bear War. quick reminder, bears actually must have died in this war. They were using real guns.
Yeah. Very pointy bayonets.
None of the characters ever say, like, yeah, I lost my great-grandfather in that war. Nope.
No.
They all survived to the end, apparently.
Yeah.
But speaking of surviving till the end, we see old Shag nice and alive there at the end. Jane's having a good scratch on him.
Yep.
And the scouts have achieved not only the history merit badge, but there's a new merit badge in the offing. And what is this new merit badge?
Well, it is my kind of merit badge. I think this would be the first one I got. It's just relax and have fun badge.
Yep. And the describe what the badge looks like for us.
It is a picture of a bear swinging very lazily in a beautiful hammock with next to them a two-strawed refreshment beverage on the ground. So it looks relaxing and fun, just like the merit badge suggests.
A drink so refreshing it requires two straws to get it out of the cup. Like
that's right.
The just relax and have fun badge, the reason I quit scouts is because this badge was not like the primary focus of it. There was a lot of work involved, and as I've mentioned, I was not a kid who was up for a lot of survival, so.
Yeah, I was in Brownies, which is, you know, before Girl Scouts or whatever, and I quit when they had a book swap, and I misunderstood the function of a book swap, and so I took books that I really liked and put them on the table with everyone else's, and then, of course, some kids took the books that I really liked that I had taken.
What did you think a book swap was?
That's a very good question. I don't know what I thought.
Okay, so my follow up question is, what is a book swap?
Oh, so a book swap is you bring maybe books that you are finished reading or that you don't really want anymore, and then your friends do the same, and so you can take away different books that you didn't have, and then yours go home with someone else.
And you
Not sure what I thought it was. I don't know if I thought we were all just sharing our books. Just for, you know, temporarily, or talking about them. I don't know. I think I was in like first or second grade. But I was not really great at what they call paying attention at that age. So
Do you remember what the books were?
I don't, but I guarantee a Berenstain Bears book must have been one of them. Because I feel like that really was the age when I would have been into them. But yeah, I can't remember. I think there was a Fraggle Rock book.
Oh.
The Doozers. I don't know if you know those kids. Yeah, so it was The Doozer Who Didn't, I think. Because that was a really favorite book of mine, and I feel like I would have kept that book forever. And
Is that the one about the doozer who, like, didn't want to work?
Yeah, he
wanted
the doozer
to create,
who didn't.
Or...
So, yeah, he just liked to sleep in, and, he wasn't...
Well, I know what badge he would have gotten.
Yeah, yes.
He would have gotten just relax and have fun badge.
Yeah, you did a great candidate for it.
So you quit Brownies because of a book swap.
Yeah. I just wasn't into it. And then, so that was like upsetting enough that I think my mom was like, all right. Like, I think even before then I was like, I hate this. I hate going. I don't know.
Well,
fun, you know?
You are now my quitting scouts friend across the United States because I quit Cub Scouts. Before I even made it to Boy Scouts. So
there we go.
There
Perfect.
It is. For superficial, just as superficial reasons. So.
Yeah. So this badge is definitely for us.
Yep. I want a full sash with the one badge right on it.
Exactly.
Just relax and have fun, man.
Perfect.
So Aaron, this whole book's a nightmare and kind of a mess. There was also, before we wrap up, this was based on an episode of the Berenstain Bears Saturday morning cartoon.
Right.
Which was called Save That or the condemned back scratcher.
Oh, right.
Well, it's basically the same plot. Of course, there's no Bear Scouts because they didn't do that in the cartoon. Mm-hmm. And it starts off with Ralph and Mayor Honeypot, and they've already condemned the tree. Gramps is there at the, you know, they gives them the history. There's no Great Bear War. It basically follows the same plot, except there's no scouting involved. They're just trying to save this tree. And then in the end, they call Honeypot down and have him scratch, and he declares it. What happened is Ralph sent out flyers saying there was going to be a free honeycomb giveaway in the town square to cause a bunch of traffic, a big traffic jam, to make it look like they needed a freeway. He doesn't really. It's a cartoon, so it doesn't make any sense.
Right.
But it ends the same way. The book. The book actually pulled it off, I think, a lot more convincingly, just because it had a little more time to build up. But it was your same basic thing. The Cubs were trying to save a back scratching tree. Tale as old as time.
I mean, yeah, exactly. What else do you want? That's always like, you know, story number four in whatever series you're trying to build. Yeah.
Right. The hero's journey. At the end. The hero always has to save some sort of back-scratching tree from getting torn down and replaced with a freeway.
Some sort of silly ceremonial nonsense.
So, Aaron, what did you think of the Berenstain Bear Scouts save that back-scratcher?
I thought it was odd. It's an odd book. I mean, I don't know if there's a better way to say that, but it was really jam-packed with just a lot going on. And as a grown-up reading it, there was a lot that was questionable and, like we said, like upsetting. You know, the election results were not really great and really not specifically well explained. But there were a lot of like really fun things in there. I liked the quote from Gramps: "When you scratch your back on old shag, you're scratching it on history." because it felt like that quote had a lot of weight to it. Like that was a bon mot that he was really trying to get across to the kids. And it was like, right. Gramps, that's meaningless. Like, that doesn't mean anything. So that was great. It was interesting to see Jane. I liked seeing Jane, you know, stick up for herself and really go for a candidacy that she would have been really good for. It's an odd, interesting book. Yeah.
I totally agree. The Berenstain Bear Scouts series, they're a mixed bag because, like I've noted before, they're almost all of them, most of them are based on episodes of the old cartoon show that have been, like, ridiculously expanded. Again,
right.
I totally forgot that Freddy and Lizzie were even characters in this book because they're not.
right, no.
They're just there.
Yeah. They just make four cubs. Yeah.
Right, just to fill out the scouts, mm-hmm. and the plot stays the same. They changed, I think, from the cartoon they took Papa's role and they gave it to Farmer Ben, like at one point. I think that was it. Like,
yeah.
Because I don't think the parents don't even really appear in this book.
They're not in this at all. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Gramps, their only relative. Yeah.
Good. So, if any of the listeners are interested in reading it, it's completely out of print. It's one of the Scouts books, so like many of the Scouts books, it's not even available as an ebook in format. You're gonna have to buy it used, or find it at your library if they even carry it.
So
like these Scout books didn't do well, so they didn't get a whole lot of extra printings. So there's not many around.
Yeah.
I think my copy is actually a used library edition, I think.
Yeah, I was going to say, check your library's book sale. Like, don't check on your library's shelves, because I don't know that, you know, we would have that there, but maybe in the book sale.
So that's the Berenstain Bear Scouts. Save that backscratcher. An odd little book, but I have to kind of give it a recommend, because I think it's a good conversation starter.
It is. Yes.
It has so many, like, weird plot threads running through it.
Yes.
So before we end this episode, Aaron, tell us a little bit about Ladies Who Library.
So it is basically me. Sometimes I have guests on. I'm on hiatus right now because I'm about to graduate with my library degree. So now I'm actually a fraud. I'm not a real librarian until 8 weeks from now. But it is about, I work in a public library, so it's about things concerning libraries, but we're always talking about what we're watching and reading and listening to. So it's pretty accessible for everyone. Yeah, so it's just a really fun, a fun show. You should check it out.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Aaron, thank you so much for coming on Deep in Bear Country.
Thanks for having me. This was a blast.
It really was. And for everyone else out there, you could find me, at Deep in Bear Country, or that's not the name of my website. That's BerenstainBearcast.wordpress.com. You can also find me on two other shows. I do It's Del Toro Time with my teenager, Ollie, about the films of Guillermo del Toro and his friends. And also I co-host Click It Cast, a Beverly Cleary podcast, with my friend John McCoy. So if you want to find me, if you want to hear my voice for more than just an hour a week, that's another place you can find me. Otherwise, I always do this. I say thank you to my guests, and then I do that part. And now I'm saying thank you to you again because it naturally flows that way.
Yeah.
So, Aaron, thanks again.
Thank you.
And for everyone else, I'll see you all next time deep in Bear Country.